Well, again, so good to be with you, and it's a beautiful sunny afternoon and here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And as I said, I've been doing this service or this devotional on Monday nights, Monday afternoons for the last several months, and I've been thinking about and praying about what I should share with you guys, and we're going to dig into the Word of God a little bit, and we're starting this little series called The Clothing of God. The Clothing of God. And maybe you guys have never heard of such a title, but we're going to get into the Word of God, and it comes straight from Paul's epistle to the Colossians. Paul's epistle to the Colossians. You may have a Bible with you today. You may not. If you don't, I'll read it for you. The Clothing of God. Colossians 3, verse 12. But before I do that, let me kind of describe what Paul is talking about in Colossians chapter 3. Paul is giving the Colossians certain guidelines and rules for godly living, for holy living. And he talks about the things that we should not be doing as Christians, things such as immorality. We should not lie. You know, we should not be full of impurity or lust. He says, as Christians, as God followers, those striving to live a holy life, we ought to put aside the deeds of the sinful nature. And then in Colossians 3, verse 12, he goes on to say, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Verse 13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Verse 14. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So we're talking about the clothing of God. Now, on a cold winter's day, on a cold winter's night, it's very healthy physically to clothe yourself with what? Especially during the day, on a cold winter's day. It's very good for the physical body to be clothed with a heavy jacket, right? To keep you warm and safe. To keep disease and illness away, right? On a cold winter's night, it's very healthy physically to have a good heavy blanket, right? To keep you warm and to keep you healthy. And guess what, friends? In the spiritual realm, in our spirits, we're to clothe ourselves with these virtues that Paul the Apostle lists here in Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14. To grow in our walk with God and to stay healthy and safe spiritually, we need to put on the piece of clothing, the pieces of clothing Paul lists in Colossians 3:12. And the piece of clothing that we're going to talk about tonight or this afternoon is called compassion. That's the first one he lists, right? He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion. Now, what does this word compassion mean from the original language? So you've got to understand that the New Testament was originally written in a language called Greek. And as I was studying this word compassion today, this is what came about. The word compassion is pity felt on witnessing misfortune or calamity. It's a sense of unhappiness for the ills of others. The word that Paul uses here for compassion is basically sympathy. Feeling sympathy for the hurt, the pain, and the suffering that somebody else is going through in life. Now, let me give you a personal illustration here, and some of you may have heard this story before. Back in November of 96, I was driving my little green pickup truck. It was after Thanksgiving. It was a cold, snowy, icy night. And I was living in Broken Arrow with my parents, and I wanted to go to church that Sunday evening. And my mom told me, she said, Jonathan, don't go to church tonight. It's dangerous to drive out there. I didn't heed her. I didn't obey. And I went to church that Sunday evening in late November of 96. Well, on my way back from church to Broken Arrow, I was driving around 101st and Delaware. And there was just a big sheet of ice on the street. And I was driving just a little too fast. And my car, my pickup truck, started to kind of shift back and forth on the ice. And instead of just slightly pumping on the brake, what did I do? I hit the brake all the way, and guess what happened? My pickup truck began to spin, and it flipped on the other side of the road on the passenger side. Well, thank God I had enough godly wisdom to have a seatbelt on, so I was suspended, if you could see the picture, in midair as the truck was laying on the passenger side. And I was able to roll down the driver's side window, unlatch my seatbelt, and climb out of the truck. And somebody, a man, stopped in his vehicle to help me out. And this man was moved with what? He was moved with the pity, the sympathy that Paul talks about in Colossians 3, verse 12. You know, just recently I witnessed another accident on 71st between Yale and Sheridan. And this poor girl had flipped her vehicle on the roof. And thank God she came out alive. But as we were driving down 71st between Yale and Sheridan, there was a group of people around this accident scene. Now, you know, there were some people there out of curiosity, right? When there's an accident, people like to stop out of curiosity, right? But I really believe that there were some people there who stopped out of pure, genuine pity and sympathy. They felt for the misfortune, the distress of this girl who flipped her car upside down, right? And that's what Paul is talking about in Colossians 3, verse 12. Now, let me ask you this. If you're walking on the streets of downtown Tulsa, right? How many would feel sympathy for a person bleeding to death on the side of the road? If you were walking down the road. Sorry, we're in the middle of a message here. But anyway, if you were walking the streets of downtown Tulsa, right? And you noticed the person bleeding to death. How many out of sympathy and pity would stop to help that person? Maybe somebody can stop and help this guy here for a second, if we could. See if we could let him in here. But anyway, all of us would want to stop, right? Out of pity and sympathy. Correct? But this afternoon, I want to talk about a compassion that goes just beyond pity or sympathy. Friends, I'm talking about a mature God kind of compassion that goes a step beyond just feeling for someone's hurt. It goes a step beyond to doing something to relieve a person's pain and suffering. It's one thing to feel sympathy, right? It's one thing to hurt on the inside for someone else who is in pain and suffering, right? But it's another thing to actually do something to relieve that person's pain and suffering. And that's the God kind of compassion that I'm talking about this afternoon. And Jesus gives an awesome illustration, a parable illustrating this point in Luke chapter 10. Let's turn to Luke chapter 10 if you have a Bible. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Luke chapter 10. And this is what Jesus says, or what Luke writes. Luke 10, 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Verse 26, "What is written in the law?" He replied, "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." So this lawyer was pretty smart, right? He knew what the Old Testament said. "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Maybe he was trying to test Jesus a little bit, right? So Jesus gives this parable in verse 30. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Verse 31. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. Now, friends, priests and Levites were what? The priests and Levites of the Old Testament were religious people. They should have been practicing this thing called compassion, but obviously They weren't, right? This Jew, supposedly, who was traveling from where? From Jerusalem to Jericho, was beaten by robbers, left on the side of the road to die, bleeding. The priest and the Levite, religious people, passed him on by. Now, this priest and this Levite, they were into religion. Religion is about what? Religion is about do's and don'ts. It's about a list of rules and regulations, right? A list of duties. Friend, I'm here to tell you today that there is a difference between religion and relationship with God. This Samaritan that we're about to read about had relationship with God. Let's read. Verse 33, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He felt for this beaten Jew, right? He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus said, go and do likewise. The priest, as I said, and the priest and the Levite were religious. But the Samaritan had relationship with God. He had the God kind of compassion on the inside. The Samaritan felt for this person who was beaten, right? He had sympathy, but he did something to relieve the Jew's suffering. You've got to understand that historically, friend, there were racial tensions between the Jews and the Samaritans. The Jews, they looked down on the Samaritans. Jews and Samaritans really did not have relationship. They kind of stayed apart from each other. But this Samaritan was moved with the love and the compassion of Christ. So he decided to do something to relieve the suffering, the pain of this man, right? What did he do? What does the Word of God say? He bandaged his wounds, he poured on oil and wine, took him to an inn, paid for the inn, and said to the innkeeper, when I return, if there's any extra expense, I'll reimburse you. God, the God kind of compassion based on relationship with Christ does what? It tears down the walls of racism, prejudice, and pride. And that's what the Samaritan did. He was different. The Samaritan was different racially from the Jew that was beaten, that was dying. But the God kind of compassion on the inside of him did what? It took down the walls of racial differences. It took down the walls of prejudice. It took down the walls of pride. Does that make sense? You know, Jesus, in this parable, expands the concept of neighbor. Here in America, we have an understanding of what neighbor is, right, historically. The neighbor is what? You know, you live in a certain neighborhood, and the neighbor is the person next door, or the person 2 doors down, or the person who lives across the street, right? Or maybe for you, the neighbor is the person who sleeps in the bed next to you, the person who lives above you. The person living nearby, right? But Jesus expands the concept of neighbor in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Jesus is basically saying in this parable that the neighbor is anybody who is in need. Anybody who is in greater need than you or me. And when you reach out a hand of compassion to help the person in need, you're acting as that person's neighbor. The person is anybody who happens to be in need. So guess what, friend? You may be from Tulsa, Oklahoma, United States, but you could be taking a trip to China on the other side of the world. And if you find somebody in China in greater need than yourself, guess what? That person in China is your neighbor, even though that person in China does not live next to you in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Does that make sense? The neighbor is anybody who is in need, whether that person looks like you or whether that person looks different. You know, in the coming days, in the coming weeks, in the coming months, God may cross our paths to help someone different than us. He may put across your path for you to help someone that looks different than you, that is of a different skin color than you, that thinks differently than you, that talks differently than you, who eats different food than you do, who dresses differently than you. We may be, if you would, the Samaritan. And God may bring across our path the Jew, the person who is different, the person who has been beaten, the person who is on the side of the road bleeding. The question is this: will you reach out the God kind of compassion? Will you reach out with the God kind of compassion and help that person? And you might be wondering this afternoon, well, you know what, Jonathan, I'm in such great need myself. How can I reach out beyond myself? Well, friends, there is someone out there today, tomorrow, the next day, that is in greater need than you. You know, tonight, you've got a roof over your head, right? Here at John 3:16. Guess what? There's somebody sleeping on a street corner tonight. There's somebody tonight sleeping under a bridge. There's somebody tonight sleeping under a tree who is in greater need than you and who may be different than you, may look different than you. Will you reach out a helping hand with a God kind of compassion to relieve that person's pain and suffering? Sympathy's okay. We can all feel sympathy, right? We can all feel for somebody's hurt on the inside. But the God kind of compassion, mature, godly love does what? It goes a step beyond just feeling. And it does something. It takes action to relieve the suffering of someone in need. I'd like to read to you another story. The widow of Zarephath, who I really believe practiced compassion towards someone who is in greater need than herself physically. How many here know about Elijah the prophet in the Old Testament? Great man of God. Okay, there was a famine in the land, and God used birds, the Raven Express, if you would, to bring food to Elijah in the morning, the afternoon, and at night. And he drank from the Kerith Ravine, from this brook. But the word of God tells us in 1 Kings 17 that sometime later, verse 7, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Very interesting account here. Verse 8, then the word of the Lord came to him, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son so that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the Lord gives rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. And here's the miracle, friends. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. So we see two sets of people here, right, friend? Who do we see? We see a widow woman, right? And her son. She was about to give up on life. She was going to make a meal for herself and her son, and she was going to die. Right? We see a widow woman who was giving up on life. She felt good as dead. And then we see who? We see Elijah, the Jewish prophet, right? Who had absolutely nothing in the physical realm. He had dependence on God, of course. But the widow woman had something physically, right? She had some oil and she had some flour, right? So what did she do? In compassion, she stepped out to relieve Elijah's suffering. Look at verse 13 if you have a Bible. Fear was trying to hold her back. Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said." Fear tried to hold her back. But in faith, she stepped out in compassion to relieve Elijah's hunger. And friend, that may be your predicament tonight. You might be plain afraid. You might be in a prison called fear. If I give out of myself, if I give the little bit that I have, I may not have enough for me. But friend, let us learn from the widow woman, right? Let us learn from the widow woman. What did she do? She put fear aside. She stepped out in faith. She took a step of compassion and relieved Elijah's suffering, right? What did she do? She made a loaf of bread for Elijah and she gave it to him. And guess what God did for her? God brought to her a bountiful harvest. As she was looking out for Elijah, God up on high was looking out for her. As she took a step of faith, a step of compassion to relieve Elijah's suffering, God took a step to relieve her suffering and her hunger. There was food every day for the woman, her family, and Elijah. Her act of compassion, seen by sowing a seed into Elijah's life, brought a bountiful harvest of provision into her life. Friend, you may feel like the widow of Zarephath tonight. You may feel like you're giving up on life. You may feel as good as dead. And fear is trying to hold you back. But guess what? On the other side of your act of faith, on the other side of your acts of compassion, God has got an awesome miracle in store for you. But in faith, you've got to take a step of compassion to relieve the pain and the suffering of someone in greater need than yourself. And if you do so, God is out to relieve your pain and suffering. What does the Word of God say? Whatever a man sows, that also shall he reap. If you sow a seed of compassion into the life of someone else, God is going to bring a harvest of miracles and provision into your life. God's Word never fails. It does not return void. As long as this earth remains, it says in Genesis 8:22, there will be seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest that works in every area of life. If you want oranges, what do? You plant orange seeds, right? And you tend to those seeds. If you want apples, what do? You plant apple seeds and you eventually harvest apples, right? If you want love and forgiveness, what do towards others? Sow love and forgiveness into their lives so that when you're in need, somebody you've offended will forgive you, will demonstrate God's love towards you. Friend, I'm here to tell you this afternoon that there is somebody out there in greater need than you. And I believe that in the coming days, God is going to bring this person across your path who's in greater need than you. Will you, in faith, step out with compassion to relieve that person's suffering? You know, just feeling for the person's hurt, just feeling for that person's pain, is sympathy. That's not enough. God wants us to go a step further. He wants us to mature in this God kind of compassion. This step further is what? It's doing something to relieve that person's pain and suffering. How to put on this piece of clothing, this spiritual piece of clothing called compassion this week and in the weeks to come. As I said, reach out to somebody who's in greater need than you. That reaching out may be just a kind word. Maybe there's somebody who's depressed and thinks that nobody cares for them. Just share a godly word with that person, an encouraging word. Tell them, you know, God loves you, God believes in you, and I believe in you. Maybe there's somebody out there who's starving, is absolutely penniless, but maybe you got $10 or $20 to your name. Buy that person something to eat. Buy them lunch. Buy them dinner. Buy them a cup of coffee. You know, maybe there's somebody out there that's absolutely lonely, has nobody to talk to, and is dying of depression. Well, step out of yourself. Take a step of compassion. Sow a seed of compassion and give that person some of your time. Sit with them. Talk with them. Even though they may look different than you, think different than you, dress different than you, eat different types of food, step out beyond yourself. Sow a seed of love, of compassion. Relieve that person's loneliness and depression. And as you do it for that person, God is looking out to relieve your difficult situation. For whatever a man sows, that also shall he reap. And that's why we come here to John 3:16 on Mondays. Because we care for you. We love you with the love of God. We want to reach out to you with God's word, with some of the necessities of life. And I don't know how many here have heard of the cyclone that hit the nation of Burma just recently, on May 2nd. Burma sits right next to India. Anyway, they're fearing that 100,000 people plus have died from the cyclone. And there's many victims, homeless people now remaining in the nation of Burma. And recently God has given us the opportunity, my organization, Precious People International, to do something to relieve their suffering. So basically, I'm trying to practice what I'm preaching this afternoon, and we've raised some funds to buy these people rice and to buy them mosquito nets and to buy them temporary housing and to buy them water filtration systems and just reaching out with the love of God. And if I can do it and reach out with the compassion of Christ to help relieve somebody's suffering, even if it's only one person, if I can do it, friend, you can do it. I'm no better than you. And you know, this afternoon, God may put it on your heart to give to somebody in Burma, to give to a homeless person in Burma. They're sleeping in muddy streets now. They've got no homes. They've got no roof over their heads. Hardly any food. And you might have a little bit to your name. If you want to donate something, whether it be an item, whether it be a dollar, 50 cents, whatever God may put on your heart, you can join up with us too if you'd like and help reach the people of Burma, a nation which sits right next to India. God loves you guys so very much. And, you know, you might be struggling with this thing called compassion. And we're talking about the clothing of God. And the first virtue that we're to clothe ourselves with, according to Colossians 3:12, is the virtue called compassion. Clothing our human spirit with a spiritual piece of clothing called compassion. Reaching out beyond ourselves, like the Samaritan in Luke 10. Like the widow woman in 1 Kings 17. And when you reach out beyond yourself, guess what? God will reach out to you and relieve your pain and suffering. In Jesus' name. And so this afternoon, you might be struggling with this issue, thinking, you know what? Fear is holding me back, Jonathan. I'm afraid if I give the little bit that I have, I won't have enough for myself. But friends, you can never outgive God. God brings somebody across your path who's in greater need than you. Give some of what you have, like the widow woman. And God will reach out. He'll bust open the windows of heaven to do a miracle in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Believe it. God is good all the time. And all the time God is good, we serve a miracle-working God. If you need love and compassion in your own life, you need relief, you need a miracle, sow a miracle. Sow a seed called a miracle into somebody else's life. Sow a seed of love and compassion into the life of someone else. the clothing of God, the God kind of compassion that does something to relieve somebody else's pain.